If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Today, we have Organifi Supplement Company founder, Drew Cannoli. He's a supplement wizard, so I had a lot of fun talking to him. In fact, this is one of the few people I can really geek out on with supplements. He's also a great guy. This is a fun episode. His company, of course, is Organifi. And if you go through our link, Organifi.com/mindpump, use the code mindpump, you get 20% off any of the products he talks about this episode and all the rest of the products. Now, this episode is brought to you by a sponsor, 8Sleep. This is the most advanced sleep system in the world. Sits on your bed. AI technology controls the temperature of your bed to help you sleep better. It's individualized. There's nothing like this in the world. Go to 8sleep.com, spell out 8, so 8sleep.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump and you'll get $350 off your very own Pod 5 Ultra. We also have a sale this month on some programs. MAPS Split and the Anabolic Metabolism Bundle of Programs. All of that, 50% off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code July50 for that discount. Here comes the show. Drew, welcome back to the show.
Rock and roll. Yeah, thanks for having me.
I got to ask you, dude. So you do such an incredible job of bringing supplements to the market, and then everybody follows your trend. And the example I'll use is Shilajit. When you guys sent us the Shilajit gummies, I remember asked these guys. I was so excited because I was familiar with Shilajit. Well,
Justin and I had no idea what the hell it was.
And a lot of people didn't know what it was, but it's been around forever. It's been using Ayurvedic medicine forever.
Thousands of years.
There's studies that support the hell out of it. And I'm a supplement dork or nerd. And so I knew about it. And so when I saw you do that, I'm like, oh, this is going to be
game changer.
And now I see everybody trying to sell Shilajit.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
But so is this you, or do you have a team that does, like, because I've talked to you and you really understand supplements, the history of them, what works, what doesn't work. Like, where do you get these ideas?
We have a wonderful team. I have a formulator in-house. She's amazing. Think Harry Potter, Hogwarts, like graduated. She's awesome. Shanai, who literally her and I get on the phone and we bounce back and forth. What's going to help people the most? Mm-hmm. What's going to help our friends, our family? What trends are we seeing as far as where do people need healing? Where do they need internal healing? So Shilajit, mitochondria, energy, cellular respiration, weight loss, testosterone. I mean, there's so many clinicals around it now. Yeah. It just blows me away looking at it. It's
like, do you reverse engineer it though, like that, where you guys are talking on the phone and you're like, these are the things. Okay, now let's go look at all the things that have been around.
What are people searching for? What's available? What's an innovative method to put it together? Because Shilajit tar has been around for a while, right?
Right.
Of course, monks and masters would go up in the Himalayan mountains and get this stuff and it would give them more energy. But how can you create it to where people crave it? And that's when we decided to put it in a gummy with a little organic cane sugar, which you need sugar or you need sugar alcohol to form a gummy in the first place. Mm-hmm. But this stuff, I mean, it's like Mother Nature's Botox. I get messages every day from people that are blown away with the results of Shilajit.
Yeah, but there's more to this, because you seem to hit it at the right moment. Because again, Shilajit's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Why didn't anybody bring it to market like you guys first? You did the same thing with the Happy Drops with the saffron. The data on saffron and its effects on depression, anxiety, it's like a natural
100%.
Like a natural SSRI.
It performs better. 28 clinical trials. It's better than most of the SSRIs.
So why wasn't anybody else selling it like you guys? Like, how come you were the first one?
Pills. You know, there was saffron pills that you could get for like $100. Mm. But we're like, what are people actually going to take? And we put it in a gummy, craveable gummy. And we wanted to add a couple other things, passion flower.
Yeah.
We wanted to add Gota Cola, which is an amazing adaptogen for focus and reducing racing thoughts, which everybody has now with all the noise and the blue screen and everything that we're up against. And then ginger, which helps with cognitive function as well. So we put that into one gummy and I'm blown away. The testimonials, I've shared some of them with you.
Yeah.
It lights my soul up because we are in a mental health crisis. We've seen it. And it continues to go up. There's no stopping how many disorders there are that people are dealing with. Low mood, depression, anxiety, all of it. Especially in a lot of young kids, I'm seeing it more than ever.
Yeah. The other part of it is you're saying craveable. So that's another thing that I think about you often with this is the whole putting things in a gummy, right? Typical supplement company be like, nah, pills. Let's not add any, you know, 1 gram of sugar.
Candy,
or whatever.
Like.
But you hit it when you look at the data, even on prescription drug or medications that people are supposed to take, they just don't.
Yeah,
they're just not consistent.
Yeah, you're not more fun. You're more likely to give it to your dog than yourself.
Yeah, 100%. There's studies on this where people are more consistent with their animals and their meds than they are with themselves. And you're like, you know what people will do? They'll eat a gummy. This will make them consistent. And from a business standpoint, they're going to use it more. They're going to get better benefits. Like. Again, like where did you get that?
Well, it's got to be fun if you want to form a habit with anything. So you have the disciplined guy that can, like you out here, deadlifting 600 pounds. Yeah. That's the disciplined cell. But you also have the cell that every once in a while, I don't know what your crutch is, but maybe you like pizza. I'm a pizza guy. Mm-hmm. Last name's Cannoli. So I'll talk to the disciplined guy and be like, hey, we're going to work out. But then the lazy guy that's in my brain too, it's like, hey, you're going to have a pizza after this, or you're going to have a cheat day or whatever it is, a cheat meal, because I don't really do cheat days. But the gummy works for both. So not only are you getting the nutraceutical of the happy drop that tastes great, you're craving it, it's a habit, but you're also lighting up your reward center in your brain, you're improving your mood, you're increasing serotonin levels. So it just works on all fronts. And that's what we're seeing in the data.
Yeah, this is a long-term trend for you, like your flagship product,
green juice.
Green juice was it too.
Yeah. Which nobody
in my opinion, the first good tasting green juice.
Well, it still is the only glyphosate residue free. There's a bunch of organic ones, and it's also the only one that has 600 milligrams of ashwagandha, which has the clinical trials. So me, I know you're a clinical real world evidence. That's
right.
You.
Right.
If I think about cell, it's like, we need real world evidence here. Otherwise we're wasting our time.
Right.
So green juice was that. So we looked at the clinical trials of the ashwagandha, which by the way, taste terrible as well.
Yeah.
So how can you put it in a green juice that either tastes like apple juice, which is our mint flavor, or that tastes like a sweet mint matcha beverage, you know? So that's what we did with the green juice.
Isn't the word for ashwagandha, doesn't it mean something like horse pee or something like that? Because of the smell that it can produce?
Yeah, horse, like something like that. Like it's supposed to make, like horse stallion, it's supposed to make you as strong as a horse. Yeah,
and also taste terrible.
And
like
taste.
It smells like a musky horse.
Yeah, it's not good.
They would say. And so, yeah. So tell me about this process for you, Drew. Like how long have you had this passion? Because you have this unique ability. This is what I'm getting at. You have this unique ability of actually, you see what works, you understand what works, you know people's psychology, and also how to hit the trend right from a business perspective. Like, what is that?
It's a multidimensional mindset. So you're looking at more than just one. And that's my lever. My biggest lever is like removing my consciousness, if we want to call it that. Looking at the whole entire industry, looking at what's worked in the past, looking at levers that we can pull now, and then combining them all together. Hmm. So I have a marketing knowledge. I have a knowledge of where the audience is going before they're going there, which I think every visionary has to have. You guys have that. And then putting all that together and something that people crave, something that's a habit form. And also trying it on my family first, getting real world testers out there, the testimonials that we have coming in before we ever launch it into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Colostrum's another one. Like if you look at the leading colostrum, you know, some of the big brands, I won't mention the names, but it's only like 1 or 2 grams of colostrum.
Right.
And if you look at the data, you need 5 to 15 grams a day to actually make a difference. Mm-hmm. So we were the first to actually have 5 grams of organic bovine colostrum that tastes so good. There's no artificial flavors. There's no sweeteners in it. There's no fillers at all. So you're paying for what you're getting, which is the colostrum in the first place, 5 grams. And this stuff is so craveable, you guys. I literally take scoops of this, dry scoop it, put a little water in my mouth, and it's like dessert. It's like eating ice cream at night. And I'm healing all 4 layers of my gut with colostrum. So if you look at the research around this, that blows me away. It's also a prebiotic in the gut. So it helps fill those tight junctions. And it fills all 4 layers of the gut, which most people have leaky gut now. You know this.
Yeah.
So it's a huge problem. And colostrum is one of the best things for that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so who do you have on your team for the flavors of these things?
Shanai's a wizard.
Okay.
She literally lives on the mountain in Florida, and she's got her own. She sent me a photo of this. She's got beakers and all this other stuff. So imagine this mad, like white witch in her like thing coming up with stuff. And then of course we use co-manufacturing and like formulators to actually make it taste good. But it starts there.
How many times are you going to fail before you get one?
Oh, 50, 60 times. Okay. Green juice was like 55 time iteration before we actually nailed the flavor.
Wow.
So they'll send it to me. I'll send them feedback. They'll send it again, feedback, send it again. And it's so hard to get the flavor, especially with Shilajit gummies.
Yeah. How did you do that?
That was so hard to make taste good. because she legit tastes like the bottom of a toad. It is the worst.
Yeah. It's tart.
But finally we landed on something that kind of had like that barnyard funk flavor. Not quite as resin rich as the She Legit that was in the marketplace, and it was a little sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, this is actually really good. And after you put it in the fridge, like I love the She Legit gummies in the fridge, you take it out.
Oh, I haven't tried that.
So it's kind of like rewarding yourself with something too. And you're getting the 84 trace minerals, the humic and the fulvic acid. So you're literally scraping your body out of toxins. And you guys know this, all the fat in our body is basically where our toxin storage is. So if you want weight loss that's actually effective, She Legit helps with that. Yeah.
Are those chelating compounds? Is that how they get
exactly heavy metals, 84 trace minerals in it. It literally strips the toxins out of your body.
Yeah.
So dealing with mold, it's great for that. It's a great binder. So kids are taking them and they're getting insane results as well.
Yeah. This is a big issue. A lot of people don't realize this. Like, heavy metal toxicity, mold, and then the fact that our gut health is poor kind of really reduces our ability to get rid of, because normally we have a detoxifying system in our body that's natural.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, environmental factors and then, you know, gut health issues, you're seeing this more and more, especially with kids. I'm a healthy household. We tested my two younger ones and they had higher levels of heavy metals. And so we're having to use chelating compounds, sauna, to try and get them to
daily.
And what we're seeing less of now, are kind of strange autoimmune issues. Nothing major, but it's like, why does my daughter have a little bit of eczema here? Why is my son having a little dark
circles? Lots of skin issues.
Skin issues, yeah.
I'm seeing that. Digestion issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of kiddos aren't even using the bathroom every day, which is the seat of our lymphatic system. Like, you want to be flushing it out of your body.
Yeah.
So anything we can do to improve. Some people are like, you don't need a detox. Your liver does that. But what is it? 60, 70% of people now have fatty liver disease.
Yeah.
Like, you just had somebody on your show talking about this.
Yeah. Our ability to get rid of things is overcome because of all of the things. So we're exposed to
so much.
Yeah. All these xenoestrogens and forever chemicals, microplastics.
A credit card a week in microplastics that people are eating now? Yeah.
Did you see what they do with the brain one?
Yeah. I saw all the microplastics in the brain.
In the brain. Yeah. Like, what is that doing long term?
Can't be good. That's
dementia,
sure.
Alzheimer's. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
By the way, kefir destroys microplastics in the body.
Does it?
There's been a little bit of research in regards to that. Fenugreek as well. That's one of the things you can take. Fenugreek water gets rid of microplastics.
I know psyllium husk was another one. If you use psyllium husk regularly, which, you know, thank God I was using that for a long time.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
Yeah. And that's been shown to get rid of this stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I've had to become somebody who looks into this because of my little one. Speaking of which, you have a kid. Yeah. You have a child, 1.5-year-old.
Absolutely.
Did you just go crazy into all this stuff even more? Because you're already into it.
Yeah.
I had to, which is why we launched Easy Greens for kids and then Kids Protect.
Oh, that makes sense because you had a kid.
There wasn't anything organic that was high quality enough, natural food based, because we didn't want to give them any, you know, synthetic vitamins. Obviously, you're just peeing that stuff out. So we created Kids Protect and then Easy Greens as well.
Wow.
She loves it. She comes in the kitchen and she's like, Easy Greens.
Yeah. So just maybe you just became more hyper aware of kind of what's going on.
I wouldn't call it even hyper aware. I'd say obsessed. Yeah. I'm literally obsessed with protecting my daughter, as you guys are.
Yeah.
You have kids. You want the best for them. And big food, I mean, the marketing and the propaganda around everything that's in our environment today, we're not taught it. A lot of people have just been duped. They don't have the right information, which is why we've been working together for over a decade now, because you give the right information out.
Yeah. Has it been that long?
People need, it's been like 10 years.
That's great.
Isn't that wild?
That's wild.
It's been longer though since you got you, Doug, and who was with Drew? Was it with someone else from his team that was with him?
I don't recall.
That was 2013, you said?
2013, yeah.
2013.
We went to an internet marketing thing, like convention. It was with, what were the names of the guys?
Yeah, Mike Filsaime, Andy Jenkins.
That's right.
So like the internet marketing party crew.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Yeah. Yes. And they used you. You were like their case example of how to reach people. And
yeah,
and you
all were the doing influence stuff back in the day.
Dude. That was before we even knew.
Yeah. I was selling digital products online, making millions of dollars a year selling digital products like 12, 13 years ago.
Oh, that's what you were doing.
What digital products were
they? I had a program called Juice with Drew.
That's right.
So I was teaching kind of like the Gerson method, like how to detox, 7-day fast. People were getting crazy results. Thousands of testimonials coming in every week. I was getting 16 million views on my website organically. When Facebook
Wow. Yeah,
per month, 16 million per month. So even a terrible marketer, which at the time I was still absolutely annihilating it with like a 0.025% conversion rate. And they were like, let's bring this guy up here to talk about how he's doing this. You know? And I didn't, I mean, back then I didn't know, but we had to evolve and adapt over time. And now here we are. What a wild ride.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what a wild experience for you to come from all the way from that many visits organically like that. Back imagine what you do those kind of visits these days.
Oh, my God. It would be, yeah, game over.
Yeah.
And I always put myself in that, which is the biggest trap.
I bet. Because I even look back four or five years ago.
You probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because the market's a little bit harder and there's so many copycats and now it's so easy to produce content and it's actually pretty easy to create supplements, low quality supplements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good caveat there.
Yeah. But I look back and it's like, oh gosh, knowing what we know now.
Yeah.
What do you think has been the biggest shift? Like when you look at because you're such a great person to talk to, especially from the marketing side, like what is the biggest shift? Do you think that it's just, is it oversaturated? Is there that many people that can get started and get a supplement company running? And so there's just so much competition for attention. And I
think it's that. And I think people are fed up working for other people. There's this whole at-home entrepreneurship that people just want their own 9-to-5, you know, the Gary V's of the world, which is great. So, but it does make it harder because the barrier to entry is just so much easier now. You could start up, 100, 150 grand, and you could get a pretty good SKU off the ground, marketing and everything. Which back in the day, it was probably less than that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just for a company to survive a decade, Sal was actually just bringing this up about us the other day, like reminding us, because I can be the negative Nancy, the grumpy bear about what's going on with the business. And he's like, dude, the fact that we're relevant 10 years later, he goes,
absolutely.
He's like, remember how many podcasts were going when we started? Like, name one that's still doing it. So when you look back at your guys's over a decade run, like
trajectory.
Yeah. What do you go back and go like, these are the things that we did really right. Like, what are you proud of that you guys did from day one that you've maintained that you think has a lot to do with why you guys are still relevant?
Always customer first. You know, what do the customers need? Asking them, money back guarantee, regardless of if they don't like my video, they don't like my hair, they get their money back. You know, it's like, we don't have time to play around with that.
Yeah.
And also getting results. So producing things that actually get results, tracking the results, highest quality sourcing would be another thing. So that'd be number three, making sure it's organic, glyphosate free, third-party testing on everything we do.
And you were doing that early.
Early. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had to do it early. And the dosing. So that would be four. So making sure there's a clinical dose of, say, saffron in the Happy Drops or ashwagandha or the Shilajit, 250 milligrams of the Pyruvate Shilajit. Making sure that everything we create has the efficacy around it.
How much more of an investment is that for a company to do that?
Because I think it's so expensive.
Yes, you have to elaborate on that because one of the things that I'm always trying to communicate to people, I don't care if we're talking about Organifi, any brand, whatever. But people, this is so expensive compared to this. And I'm like, well, there's a reason why that is, because it's really expensive to get all that third party testing, to go through all that stuff, to make sure that you're getting that kind of quality. So talk a little bit about that process and why you guys don't shortcut that.
Well, you're sourcing from the best farms. You're making sure that it's organic, third party tested. You're paying at least 30% more for ingredients.
30% more.
At least 30%
more. Well, Shilajit alone, they're now, I'd say you guys started a huge Shilajit trend. I see them all over the place now. Mm-hmm. But they're using like lab made Shilajit or Shilajit that's not from the Himalayas, is other sources. And it's like you're wasting your time, but people have no idea.
They have no idea. And everybody's getting duped because of that. So you look on Amazon and there's probably like 20 other Shilajit gummies that were just pop shops. Some guy in a different country altogether making a lab grown Shilajit. Does it really have the efficacy? Does it really have the 84 trace minerals that we have? Absolutely not. So Pyruvate, we usually partner up with the best sourcing, and then we apply that to the individual ingredients, which helps a lot. It is a lot more expensive. Yeah. Plus, you're testing every lot number as well. So a test can range anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000, and you have to do it every time. Because if one thing goes haywire, it's like you want to know what it is. And then you're testing every ingredient. So the numbers add up pretty quickly.
Now, how often do you guys test something and go, oh shit, we got to go back and change this or fix that, or we got to go somewhere else? Like, is it often?
On every SKU, at least once or twice a year, where it's like, okay. But luckily we know. Otherwise, customers would get something that's less than what we've created in the past, which we would never want in the first place.
Now, do you think, when you think of like what the people that, there's lots of times where you hear, we remember one of the things that we had with you probably like 6 years ago. I remember there was a big
thing. This is the glyphosates, right?
Was it glyphosates or was it aluminum?
Heavy metals.
Heavy metals
and protein.
Yeah. Do you think that a lot of this is like malicious or people know they're doing it? Or do you think a lot of times it's just purely an accident because they're trying to cut corners and save money?
I don't even think they know. I think they're trying to, like you said, I think they're probably trying to cut corners. They're trying to just stay in business as it is. I mean, in America, we have to pay taxes and then we have, you know, attorneys that sometimes sue us for no apparent reason at all, because everybody's just trying to survive in this economy that we're in. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're swimming with sharks regardless. These people are just trying to get by and the customer gets duped in the end.
A lot of people don't know this, but like vegan protein powders, if they're organic, organic pesticides can cause heavy metal buildup in the plants, but they weren't testing for them.
Yeah.
So that's why some of the top vegan protein powders
I saw that
were so high, in heavy metals, but they weren't testing them because they didn't even know to test for them.
We had to change up our pea protein because we were sourcing our pea protein. And it was, I didn't even know it at the time, but it was a little higher in heavy metals. Mm. So we had to sub that out. We had to pay literally what we would normally spend for a kilo of pea protein, maybe $10, something like that. And it had heavy metals in it. So we had to sub it out and it was three times more because you're getting it in America.
Three times more
in America. Wow. So now a protein that probably would cost X amount is three times more than that. Like imagine what that does to your supply chain, everything in your business.
Right. Right. You know, a lot of,
do they normally measure protein powder in kilos? Is that normal? Is that
common? Yeah.
You know, this reminds you. Yeah, I have to bring this up to you because
Adam's hilarious.
Hey, no one said, I was just like, I don't know if I've ever heard him say protein powder in kilos. Right away, I see bricks. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. I got all white on.
We wanted, I know you look like you're straight out of Miami right now, too. We wanted to do a creatine. Remember back in the days? Oh, and we wanted to sell it. In
paper bag.
That's actually pretty brilliant.
I feel like that would be brilliant. Don't you think that would? Yeah. I think it would be the purest creatine you could get, and we sell it by the kilo. I think it would crush.
It's ideas like that now that separate you from everybody else.
That's what I think too. I think
you have to be original. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just noise.
Yeah,
I want to
see
someone do it.
Yeah. Well, I love that.
Yeah. You just totally brought that up for me.
What you're talking about are all the stuff you're mentioning. It's like that's business. If you want long-term sustainable business, you want to create a legacy.
It is what it is.
Business 101. But I think what happened with social media, just new media in general, is people, and this is business has always been able to, you could always cut shortcuts, create shortcuts. But I think people saw social media and saw, oh, this is an opportunity to make a bunch of money real quick. Mm-hmm. So let's go for it, cut costs. And you know, who knows? We'll see what happens. But those companies don't last long.
Not at all.
No, they don't last long. So if you want to and we talk to people like this all the time, like with our business, we teach trainers this. You want a sustainable business, you have to do it the right way. Otherwise, you'll be in and out in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I've seen businesses come and go like that.
Yeah, there's lots of supplement companies, unfortunately.
Gone.
Are you pro? You probably not, of course not. But would you be pro like regulation of the supplement industry? They always make that argument because
we are pro regulation.
Wow.
Because we're doing everything by
because you're already doing it. That's why you're like so basically making everybody else like, play
even on
rules.
Amazon rolled out this huge transparency program and we're already doing like 80% of it. But now it's like 40 to 50% of Amazon subs are gone. Like they will be gone.
What is this program?
So you have to have an individual, the QR code on the back of every product that you sell that Amazon can actually track. So this is getting crazy, guys.
What's the reason behind this?
So Harmony is a female product. It's got the chaste tree berry. Yeah. It's got cacao with the bliss molecules. Yeah. Really good for PMS.
That's what Justin likes a lot.
Yeah. It's one of my... exactly. For women, it's one of my favorite products. Okay. But we had a semi-truck stolen. $1 million retail worth of Harmony stolen.
No way.
2 weeks later... It literally started popping up in Amazon.
Wait, hold on a second.
So you had all these resellers.
Somebody hijacked
$1 million worth of Harmony.
What?
So back to the kilo, yes, like the bricks. Dude, it's literally like cartel shit.
Wow.
Like, it literally got hijacked. So then we had to hire a freaking, you know, law enforcement, like security guy to like track down this. It was in a warehouse in LA and they were just put it in their own packaging,
selling it.
Yeah. Like most of it, but they were already, the damage had been done. Like they were already selling it for weeks on end.
Where they put it? Like, did they undercut you? Was it like, oh,
absolutely.
Oh my God.
They didn't name it the same. How did you guys know it was yours?
The SKUs.
No. So they were still using the same packaging.
They were still using the same packaging.
Oh, that's just lazy.
It's late. Yeah. But they're making money.
Yeah. But the brand is what sells it. Like, if they made their own brand.
And they're bidding against us. Wow. So they stole using your advertising, using our advertising and undercutting us.
Wow.
And this happens all the time.
I was just going to say, is this a thing where they'll hijack a truck?
It's a thing.
With supplements and then go on Amazon and
especially somebody who's already selling a ton of it. And not only that, they'll make their own. So now there's Organifi knockoffs. I've had people like multiple times, they've stolen our whole entire website. And then they're selling their own Organifi product.
This is why I always tell you, we do not want to be a supplement company.
You do not want to be in the supplement.
This guy always wants us to go that right. I'm always telling him, listen, talk to Drew and Mike. Mike tells me too, you haven't even mentioned this, how dirty Amazon.
So dirty.
The Amazon game I hear is just dirty too. It's just like so to get dirty. Ranked and you have other companies calling other companies just to
it's
screw
so
with
stressful.
They'll complain and they'll get taken down.
Yeah. My cortisol's through the roof. Like, and we have this growth
That's
manager.
Why you need all that happy drop Sheila G.
Yeah, exactly. That's truly why I created it.
It's for you.
It's an IV drip of saffron over here, just keeping me up.
This is wild. But that makes perfect sense because you could, like you said, $1 million with a product, put it on.
Yep.
The consumer has no idea. You're putting millions of dollars of advertising out there. So they're just getting brand recognition.
It's our product. Or they'll find a deal day. Like they'll find SheLegit when we give 20-30% off and they'll buy a whole gaggle of it. In individual people, so you can't catch it. Even the best security interface AI you're using on your back end isn't going to flag 1,000 purchases of people buying 5 units at a time or whatever.
Man, you got people even doing that, cutting the margins by
And then what do? They wait till the sale's over and they sell it?
And then they just start steamrolling it, dude. So it knocks our buy box completely off.
This is crazy.
It's the Wild Wild West.
No desire.
Bro. Which zero. The desire. Transparency program on Amazon and for, I love it. I'm like, bring on the regulation.
You know what? This is a start, though, that I love you sharing this because I feel like every freaking trainer wants to run a supplement company. It's like I'm going to get there. We help trainers and coaches, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to get famous online, and then I'm going to start my supplement company. I'm like, you have no idea.
No idea.
What a monster that is. Yeah. And how thin the margins are. I mean, the size you have to be and the volume you have to do to make good money. And then on top of that, playing this game. Like, that is crazy.
It's not worth it. If you would have approached me 8 years ago and said, Drew, what do you think about the supplement industry? I would have been like, hey, let's do it. I'm going to help you because there's so much opportunity. Now, I would tell you to run for the hills.
Oh, wow.
Like, just stay away.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So what happened to the guy or the team or who the hell that was stealing? So that do you prosecute? Do they get busted?
It's
a slap
so
on the wrist
hard.
Bullshit.
And it's almost like you have to focus on your core business and to go after people. That's a whole nother.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not even worth your time.
Are we going to hire Dog the Bounty Hunter to like go after these people? You know, I joke around. I'm like, hey, let's send up a couple of our boys with baseball bats.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do?
You know? I'm
like,
the Italian and you broke.
Yeah, exactly. What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do? Legs. I mean, do you even know what happened to those people?
Or you don't do anything, dude, because it's a distraction. You have to focus on
right.
Your
you
business.
Lose more money messing with it
and focusing on something else.
Carve it off as a loss. And
yeah.
Just move on.
So focus the one thing, right? The book. It's like, what are you going to focus on? You're going to go after the low hanging fruit of people that are stealing from you, or are you going to focus on building out other customer segments and like reaching new audiences and like actually benefiting the business that way?
Wow.
On a regular week, okay, just a normal week, how often are you dealing with something like this?
Every week. Yeah.
That's a lot, dude.
Every week. Oh. And I have a baby girl.
Is that
so
why
now you couple that? You guys know.
Is that why
I feel like I'm with my therapist right now? By the way, this is great.
Let it all out,
free
man.
Therapy.
Is this why you had gained all that weight before? By the way,
oh, of course.
Hey, talk to me about
dude,
that.
Eating cookies.
No,
like
this
crazy.
Is good for our audience to hear because you're a health and fitness guy.
I am.
You had a health crisis, essentially. Had that happen.
Big time.
No, for real.
It's got a little fluffy.
I became a dad bod, you know, and dad bod's a big thing right now.
Yeah, talk about how it creeped up on you because I'm sure it started probably from a good place.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah.
Because also guys like us are very, like I look in the mirror and it's like, oh, there's a lot of muscle here. We're always like in our ego enough to be like, just let it go for a few more weeks.
I'm bigger.
And then I'm just bigger. I'm stronger. I'm benching like 400, just repping it out. And then I look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, I look a little swole still. Yeah. But then all of a sudden you look and it's like, wait a minute. I have like double chins and like everything going on. Testosterone's falling through the floor. Hair loss is starting to happen. I'm like, this stress, I have to nip stress in the butt.
So did it start with pregnancy? When she got pregnant, were you right away? Or like when did it really?
For sure.
Okay, so it started
there. I think, as you guys know, having kids, it's like as soon as you have offspring, it's like everything gets turned up a notch.
Oh, yeah, dude.
The legacy gets turned up.
For a dad, drive mode that's insane.
The drive mode goes through the roof, like Justin said. And it's like, I couldn't stop. So now I was the same health guy waking up at 4 or 5 a.m. just to get a couple hours of work in before baby gets up, losing sleep, stressed out about my business. Luckily, I have all the tools, you know, because without our tools, you guys know all the tools that I know, where would we be?
Yeah.
So then months into this, you know, 6 months later after having a baby, it's like, I need to do something about this. I can't be the health guy filming videos on my treadmill with, you know, tire sack hanging on my belly.
You said you got into baking to feed.
Oh, I didn't know what to do because we had help. I had a couple really gifted like night nurses and midwives, and we did the natural birth and all the other stuff.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you guys do it at home or did you do it in a center?
We did it at home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about that experience. So we did. So I have two younger ones, and my youngest, we did in a birthing center with a midwife, and my 4-year-old, we did in a hospital, and the experience is so different.
It's so different.
So different. So talk about that a little bit. Was it scary for you going to it, or were you like, no, this is what we're going to do for sure?
My wife still hasn't shared this, so I won't share all the details because it's kind of her story to share as women. We started at home, and then she went through something called leg labor, which 1 in 4,000 women have.
Oh, wow.
Where your legs start to cramp up. But she got to 9.5 centimeters dilated from a little pool that we set up in the living room. And it was the most beautiful experience I've ever had in my life. Like the birth, it's a portal. You guys know this.
Oh, it's crazy.
And the minute that baby came out and I held her, it's like everything in my life was put into perspective.
Yeah.
Tears. And you guys, I don't know your backstory enough, but I was tortured as a kid. So 0 to 5, I had parents that were completely checked out.
Oh.
Abusive, sexually abused, like everything you could, the horrific. So to be confronted with that unconditional love in a little baby girl after she was born, it just put everything into perspective. And every day moving forward, it's like, it's so hard because I'm the dad that I never had. You guys are the men that you never probably never had in your life. Maybe you had good dads, I don't know. But there's so much to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hearing her cry.
Yeah.
I've never talked about this. This is the first time I ever said this, but even hearing her cry the first time, it just shut me down inside. Because I remember being alone, you know, in a crib for what felt like 2 weeks on end. They say, cry it out. But my parents were on drugs. Like they were on meth and everything, probably everything you could imagine back then. And having this little girl has changed me. Everything about me has been shifted. And it's hard to receive that kind of love.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
when you feel unworthy, when you have all the limited programming of your past.
What has been the biggest challenge with that, right? I mean, I think about that all the time, too. I had a difficult upbringing. And so, for me, I want to be opposite of everything.
Absolutely.
And so, do you overcompensate? Are there things that like you, do you have to have these check-ins with yourself of like, I need to be more like this? Or like, I mean, how has that process been of knowing that you had kind of a fucked up upbringing?
Yeah.
And then you obviously want the complete opposite and that you also don't want to overcompensate and cause other issues. So
there's definitely the titration of both,
right?
Where it's like, I will overcompensate a lot because we didn't have money growing up either. So it's like anything this girl wants, it's like, daddy, can I have this? And it's like, done.
Yep.
Because even one squeal of this little girl, like happy about the smallest little toy, it's like, you want to make that happen.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, it's in the crying, it's in when she's not happy. It's like these visceral fascia constrictions where it's like, this is not, I'm safe. I'm a grown ass man in this body. I can protect myself. I'm safe. I'm whole. All the things that we know. But because trauma stores itself in our fascia, that's another cortisol-inducing event. So to go back to what you said, it's like when the baby came, was it all the stress and everything else? Absolutely, dude. There were nights when I would go to bed and it's like, did I handle that right? Was I a good man in that moment? Ooh. Did I give her love? Or am I resorting to the past of like what I learned innately?
Well, there's a compounding factor here too, because you have women naturally go through that because as a mother, they're hyperdrive.
Linked up,
like cries do things to moms, and they're literally physically connected to the baby through pregnancy. And as the father and the husband, your job is to be the rock, but you're going through these similar kind of emotions. Like, how was that for both you guys?
It's my wife is probably, not probably, she's a saint, and she's so emotionally intelligent where she'll see it and she recognizes it and she talks me through it. She holds space for it.
And, that's huge.
Yeah. when I'm locked up, she's like, hey, like, take a minute. And there's not a lot that really locks me up because I've done a lot of work. But she gets it. My wife totally understands me in those moments, guides me through it so that I can come back better. But if I was a single dad without the support of a woman that's so in tune, it would be really hard, dude.
Did you go through this experience? Because I did to a large extent, where you kind of feel, you don't realize this, but you were invincible before.
Absolutely.
Now you're not. Yeah. Like you are extremely vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Now. Yeah. What's that like? For me, it was a shock.
Yeah, you feel naked.
Yeah.
You feel so exposed. Where it's like even emotions, like especially with a girl, it's mm-hmm. different. I think it is a little different having a girl as opposed to a boy. And I would love that I had a girl first because my heart has opened up so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outside of listening to Moana 1,000 times and like the Disney soundtracks on my phone, like you look like at my playlist and it's like, what's this guy listening to? Because she just loves it.
What's going to happen. That's what's going to play.
She's a little singer. But there's every moment, every day when I get rid of my phone and I get super present with her on the beach or wherever we are. And I just stare at this little girl and her big blue eyes. And it's like, there's so much wonder and so much awe in her. It's literally rewriting my childhood. I think they say every year that you're alive and you have a kid at that, you're reteaching yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm holding the little boy that never had love.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to the little kid at age 2 that didn't have a dad or a mom even around.
Yeah.
And we're working through all that. And it's one of life's greatest teachers.
I've read a lot about this. My wife had some really difficult experiences with our son, with our 4-year-old. And what they'll say I guess what psychologists will say is that whatever your trauma you had as a kid, you do a really good job, especially if you're growth minded and you move forward. You do a really good job with kind of adapting, but nothing will bring it back out like having your own kid, which happened with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But what was communicated to her and what's really happened is you can turn post-traumatic stress into post-traumatic growth, but that's hard.
Yeah.
So you got to go through all that. Is that what you're finding? Like I'm going through a lot of this stuff that I thought I could move past.
For sure. It was all stuff I had. I thought I had it neatly organized in my own unconscious mind. I mean, I had a Peter Levine trained coach, 15 years doing TRE, trauma release exercises, mm-hmm. shaking out of my fascia, EMDR. I mean, you name it, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as that little girl was just plopped on my chest and cried for the first time, it was like all of that, it just starts to fill the room again.
Yeah.
It's like you may have thought you got rid of it for a second, but here's your greatest teacher.
Yeah.
And I find myself also as a busy entrepreneur in a tough climate, wanting to excel, wanting to have success. And in those moments, it's like, why am I checking out so much? I'm on my phone, like scheduling meetings and doing like stuff that's, I could probably be a lot more effective if I just left the room. But to truly get present with her and just be in the uncomfortable, like, hey, what are you dealing with here? Like looking at it from a higher perspective. Yeah. Is where the healing takes place. It's like turning those moments with her into those sacred opportunities to heal something that wasn't healed before. So I love that you said the post-traumatic growth.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening.
How long have you and your wife been together? How long have you guys known each other?
4 years.
4 years?
Yep.
How much did that shift your guys' relationship and change bringing a baby into the picture?
Oh my gosh. Night and day.
Yeah. That's when people share the birthing process, I feel like I had such a different experience. Every guy I talk to talks about that moment when that kid comes out of just like this overwhelming looking at him, just like you described. Mine was so much more with my wife. Watching her go through that, it bonded us on another level. Now, I had holding my son and putting him on my chest, like a lot of great feelings, but the thing that really rocked my world was my capacity for her and how much that was different. I thought that was unique. So did you feel like you guys really shifted and changed? And what was that like with her?
I feel that seeing her level up as a woman.
Yeah.
Even just bringing a baby in, and this is a Viking baby. Like she had a huge head like me. And my wife is like, I have a small wife. She's like 110 pounds soaking wet. And to see the work that it took to bring this life into this existence and how hard it was for her Because it's, I mean, the birth for a woman is like, changes them entirely.
Of course.
And then to see her heal all of her mom wounds and dad wounds, because she still had all this stuff too. It has brought me so close to her, like you said, and recognizing how powerful she is and how much she's a force, you know? And it's, I don't think there's anything like it.
You said something about, you had briefly said how you'd be on your phone scheduling meetings, essentially dissociating because you're
just checking out.
There's a driver in a man that tends to happen when you have a baby, which is like, got to make more money, got to be more successful, got to be more focused. Also want to be with the kid. It's very easy for a guy, a dad. I did this with my first two and I wish I could go back in time and change it. I was all in on work. So much so that I missed a lot of their childhood.
Yeah.
Did you find yourself having to like struggle? Like, okay.
I chose my baby girl. And I think in many ways it impacted the business because you can't, I think it's hard to have both. It's either you're all in, you can't have all in on everything.
No, it's like impossible.
There's life coaches out there that you get to have it all.
Lie.
But it's like you choose. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I would rather have presence with my girl in the morning, an hour, hour and a half. And that's my most productive time. I'm a lion chronotype. I wake up at 4 a.m., right? And I'm ready to go for the day. My most productive time is probably 4 to, let's say, 11 o'clock. After lunch, I'm basically dead to the world because I've just been so on it for so long. But choosing my girl in those moments has been the best thing for me. And it's definitely impacted the business.
Have you created practices? Like I've had to teach myself like certain strategies. I think Jordan Peterson shared this on Joe Rogan's. I thought it's been powerful for me. Every time before I get home, I stop the car in the driveway for literally an extra 2 minutes and like let go of whatever is at work. And then like, you know, in my head, I'm visualizing, you know, putting on my dad clothes. I actually, as soon as I come in, kiss my wife and my son, I go upstairs and I put sweats on just to put
your
me
smart.
Yeah, it is. I've created that as a ritual of this is part of me, even though I don't have like, I wear comfortable clothes to work, but literally the changing of the clothes is comfy dad sweats. And now I'm full dad mode. Like it helps me. Have you found things like that?
I think that's so good for everybody listening to this. You need that. I'm still working on that. Because if I get up at 4 a.m. and I'm on it for like 2-3 hours before the baby gets up, I'll try to sit for 5 minutes and just meditate and do some breath work. But there's still an edge. There's still like this testosterone in me.
Totally.
That's like I'm hunting. I'm in the middle of hunting. Yeah. And then I'll go into my wife who just woke up and she's more of like the bear chronotype. So quiet, slow.
Oh, man. That's like my wife and I.
And that's hard for me to turn off.
Yeah.
Because are you loud? Are you like, wake up, lights on, let's go?
Dude. I'm like, I'm ready to go.
It's got to be.
It's Italian thing.
That's Sal, too.
So even you know, you might do a leg day in the morning. And so then your testosterone's up, what, 20-30% more? So you're even louder. Like, I come in sometimes playing music, like getting the dance party started. You know what I'm saying? And I just get shut down. Yeah. She's like, hey, this isn't going to work. You need to calm down right now. And she's this little fiery, you know, fiery woman. And I'm like, hey, I respect it, but it's so hard.
Yeah.
So I admire what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to find more methods like that.
The changing the clothes is work. Because there's times when I'm on like a heated conversation on the car phone driving home. So I'm in it. I'm in full hunt mode.
Yeah,
you know, just in the middle of a kill. And I'm like, I'm pulling up my driveway and like, okay, I've got to switch this.
Yep.
Soft. And so it's like, I got to stop in the driveway for a minute or two, gather myself, decompress, then go in straight to the wife, kiss her, pick my son up, do some of them, and then go run upstairs. And I freaking put my sweats on, t-shirt. Yeah. And by the time I do that, and it's not perfect, right? Granted, it's still coming down, but it really helps that process. It has been a huge hack for me.
I love that.
Yeah, huge hack.
And when my wife tells me stuff now, like you need to bring it down a notch, or even gives me feedback on how I'm being, it's like my ego used to flare up and it's like, woman, like I've been working 3 hours already. Right. I'm providing, I pay for everything. Like we have all this support, like whatever the ego likes to make up.
Yep.
And I would almost fight with her about it.
Yep.
But now it's like, you know what? Whatever my oracle says, my wife, I'm gonna listen to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? You're right. Like, let me bring it down a notch. Or whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
Because 9 times out of 10, she's like spot on, dude. She just sees right through my soul.
Yeah.
Like just looks, then there's no escaping it.
Yeah.
Our women, we need women like that, you know?
You yeah. Have it. Yeah. Cause would we grow up without that?
Balance.
I don't
no.
know.
No.
Yeah. What is it about little girls too? Is she a daddy's girl? Your little girl?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is it about little girls that do that to us? Cause I have boys and girls. I love all my kids. Love them. But my daughters can melt me like nothing. Is it because we know, like we identify with the boys, so we know? My wife says, because for her, it's the boys, right? My son
yeah.
goes to her.
And oh,
she,
yeah.
And she's like, because I know what she's playing. I know what the little girls do. I know what my daughter's doing, and it works on you, but it doesn't work on me. And maybe yeah. I mean, it's got to be something like that.
I think it's biologically, too. Like, there's something in a man we want to provide, we want to protect. She yeah. senses that.
Yeah.
She's like, here's my guardian. Yeah. Here's the guy that's going to... What do they say? Like, your dad is like your first love as a little girl.
That's right.
So we're modeling everything that we want her to have in the future.
The worst, I heard this once and this hit me, man. The worst man that a girl will put up with is the worst that she saw in her father. So if you yell,
yeah.
If you're inconsistent, if you lie, whatever, she'll put up with that and the guy that she's with.
Interesting.
Oh yeah. And that yeah. hit me, man. Cause I'm like, oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that. I asked a question on my Instagram the other day and it was like, hey, 20 years from now, you have a 2-year-old kid or whatever. Would you allow your daughter to marry you?
Yeah.
Would you allow your son to marry a woman like you? Like,
yeah.
Switch the role, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really thought through that.
Uh-huh. What was your answer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, good, absolutely.
Good, good. That's great.
So we're doing good work.
That's great, man. And you yeah. said you want 10? Early off air, I said, how many you want?
Yeah, I would love 10 kiddos.
What's realistic, though, for real?
Like, probably four.
Oh, good for
yeah,
you.
I need a bus.
Yeah.
Good for you. A lot of people probably don't want to have a lot of kids anymore.
Oh, I love kids, man.
Yeah.
And I love being a dad. It's like my favorite thing.
The crazy part is, I don't know about you, I was almost not.
We used to argue. Adam was
making, yeah, when we started this podcast.
You're such a good dad. Man.
People that have listened from the beginning have heard me say that. Like, oh, yeah. Because Katrina and I have been together for a long time. We've been together for 14 plus years. There was a point in our relationship where we had agreed that we might not have kids. A lot of that had my own wounding as a kid of not having and wanting to provide. And so I had this weird number in my head that I needed to be at before I didn't want to bring a child in the world until I was there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is that I made peace with that before I had reached that. And the irony of it was the 9 months when he was in her tummy was when we really kind of hit that, which was kind of crazy that I let go of it, which perfect is probably timing. What I needed to do. And mm-hmm. then everything unlocked and it ended up working perfect out timing. And it ended up like it was at that place that I wanted mm-hmm. to be. And now I look back and I go, shit, I wish I could have five. You know, after mm-hmm. having one like that, it makes me want to have a bunch more kids. But it's wild for me to think that at that time in my life, when I said that, I truly didn't feel like I needed to or it was that important. I was like, yeah, sure. If I have a kid, I have a kid. It's not a big deal. I look back now and it's like, oh man, I would have been really missing out.
Yeah. Know? I talk to people every day that don't have kids.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't want kids. And I'm like, in my head, and I don't tell them this unless they ask, but in my head, I'm like, you're going to miss out on so much. Yeah. I had no idea how much it would evolve me. How the man that I would have to become.
Yeah. I didn't realize how selfish I was. I knew I was selfish.
Agreed, man.
I knew I was a selfish person. I would admit it to you. You asked me, oh yeah, I'm a selfish guy. You know, and a lot of times when guys like us have childhoods like that.
You have to be.
And you have to be, and then you figure it out and you're like, hey, now's my time. I didn't get it 0 to 10. Like now's my time and I'm gonna live it up. I'm gonna enjoy it. And so I was very openly selfish and knew that. But to what extent I didn't realize until he came around. And then when he came around, I realized, oh shit, like not only was I selfish, but I had never truly loved anything close to how much I love myself. And for the first time, I love something more than myself.
Ah, chills.
Oh, dude. If you asked me, I'd say, oh, I love my mom. I love my sister. I love my brother. I love my wife. I love all these things. I'd say it, but I never felt like I actually loved you more than me.
Yeah,
like I love all those people a ton. I would take a bullet for them, I'd say. But this thing I actually love more than myself. That was wild.
And that plays into the vulnerability.
I love
it so much. Yeah, I would never let anything scary. Happen to this.
Yeah. It's scary is what it is.
It's scary, but also, I don't know, for me it was, it really, because I probably would have some, I wish I remember what I would say when someone asked me about purpose in my 20s. I'd probably say something. to the extent
of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, yeah. You know, something about legacy and leaving something behind and helping others or some shit, you know, whatever. Yeah. But having a son,
life coach.
Yeah, yeah. With some, having a son was just like, oh no, it's very clear now. Like that's,
this is it.
Yeah, this is it right here. Yeah. Like that's, he's, he, this is me living on, you know, 60, 70 years from now. Oh. So yeah, that was like, yeah. Game changer.
I remember Jordan Peterson said, like, they're like, why should you have kids? Like, what else are you going to do? And I remember thinking, exactly. Like, that's true. What else are you going to do? Are you going to drink Mai Tais on the beach all day?
I mean, I feel like for habits, I feel like for guys that have, I mean, I, you know, I think I had a pretty cool life. Yeah. Like I was
agreed.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah, but extend that out. Another
no, I mean, I mean, listen, I totally was blown away. You know, that was probably why it seems. And I know I talked to others that are considering not having kids and I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. You know, you got a rad life. You got a lot of cool stuff going on. And you think, if anything, you think the kid's going to cram into that or
collecting stuff.
Yeah.
And all the cars, yeah, houses.
All the cool shit. I really, really enjoyed my life and couldn't imagine a kid possibly making, I thought
it making would
take,
it better.
Yeah. I thought it would take away from some of those awesome things and it didn't. It just made all of it better.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you, when you look at your daughter, do you think of like the company you've built and what you do? And you're like, this will be something that she can get into when she gets older, or are you, do you think legacy in that way?
I'm pretty detached from that.
Okay.
But if she wanted to, like, let's say she has the world's littlest green thumb, because every time we go outside, she's, even when she came out of the womb, guys, it was weird. She would walk up to trees and she would just want to touch the tree.
No way.
And she would giggle and like smile at the tree. Yeah. Birds would come up to her. Like just every time we'd walk down to the ocean, she was like, I got to go to the ocean. Dolphins would swim up.
Wow.
Like just freak. I'm getting chills saying it. Like, wow. This kid.
Super in tune,
super connected, telepathic. Mm-hmm. Like the kids that are coming are insane. You guys know this. Mm. So she's definitely on her own path, like whatever she wants to create. I think maybe she'll get into it at some point, like see dad on, you know, videos talking about superfoods, a crazy guy, you know, but I'm not attached at all. She's definitely a little artist.
How do you now, how do you look at things like technology? I mean, she's still young, but you know, well, she's a year and a half, right?
And yeah. Year and a half.
Now throw their kids on iPads and stuff.
We limit it.
Okay.
So once a week on the weekend, maybe we'll watch a movie together. Mm-hmm. I try to keep the phone out of her hand just because I've seen what it does to kids. It's like, it just grabs them so much. It's like this visceral experience. Yeah. And then they throw tantrums afterwards because of all the blue light.
Yeah.
And now you look at all the blue light research and everything that it does neurochemically to children.
Yeah.
It's not good. So we're trying very hard to keep her entertained through minimal stimulated like devices. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, toys that don't have a lot of color. Like we're going about a very natural, holistic way.
Yeah.
But I get it. If you're a single mom and or a single dad and it's like, you have to work. It's like, what do you do? Like it's so hard.
That's why I feel it's tough. I have a best friend and his wife and they both work crazy hours and they're raising two. And I know that, like, you know, a lot of times he uses his defense, you know, it's just like, I'm handling this one. So give this one that.
I mean, I get it.
But then I see the challenge that they have, you know, it's really, really,
I was having
challenging.
This conversation with a friend of mine, cause we were talking about diet. He was asking me questions and I was talking about processed foods and how they're engineered to make you overeat and et cetera, et cetera. And then we got to tech. And I said, you know what's crazy? There's, you know, so much money was invested in to make processed food so palatable. Lots of science went into it, so much so that it has drug-like effects. Tech engineers itself on the fly. So it not only is it engineered, but it engineers itself to you individually. It would be like eating processed food.
And it gets better.
And the processed food can judge by your salivation and by your own, you know, receptors.
Well, you're the product.
Yeah. And so tech, you're talking about engineering to capture you and to create drug-like effects and to make you addicted or whatever. There's nothing like it. We've never experienced anything like it.
No.
So it's smart to avoid it.
Well, I mean, even the average screen time that I have, you know, sometimes I look at mine and it's like 6.5, 7 hours. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm on my phone 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
So even when my little girl sees me on my phone, now I'm like very conscious of explaining, hey, I have a little bit of work to do and then I'll be present with you again.
Has it gotten harder to capture people's attention to talk to them about things like health and all that stuff?
Absolutely.
Because they're getting hit with so much other stuff.
The window's shrinking too.
Yeah, Monday through Friday, I like to focus on health because that's when our willpower is the highest. You guys have looked at that stuff. Weekends, people just want to be entertained. People want to check out. because the week was so incredibly intense. So even
so you change your ads?
You guys, I was gonna say, do you change marketing on those
days? We don't change ads, not yet, but that's definitely something that's we want to test.
Interesting thought.
Yeah, we're doing more entertaining stuff. Like a lot of our ads, I'll wear like a costume and just get a little crazy.
They're great.
You know, those seem to work different on different days. Like it's a whole mathematical algorithm in and of itself. Yeah.
That's an interesting thought.
How's the market shifted? Like the consumer?
The attention, obviously the attention span is so small now.
So you just have to capture like attention quick.
Yeah. It's so small now. I mean, you guys are blessed because you have this hour long podcast or longer, you know, people are focused. They listen to the whole entire thing. I mean, I've listened to dozens of your podcasts in my car, but if you get somebody on their device and they're just in a scroll hole or doom scrolling first thing when they wake up in the morning, the likelihood of capturing them, it's like, you got to have some bold methods to do that.
Wow. Is the consumer more educated now when it comes to health products and supplements?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because everything's so easy to get. I mean, Harvard put all their whole entire curriculum online. Like you could literally go to the best university. Everything's free now. ChatGPT will act like a therapist. It'll act like a contractor. It'll literally interior designer.
Yeah.
I literally took a photo of my outfits. I'm like, hey, what's going to be best on the Mind Pump
podcast?
They said, wear this outfit. Yeah.
Come on.
Like everything, dude.
Wear your best Miami Vice fit.
Yeah, exactly.
No, talk about kilos of protein powder.
Yeah,
this is ChatGPT advice right here.
If you're not using, if you're not using it though, like you're just gonna get left in the dust.
Now, okay, going back to Shilajit and how it affects testosterone, it's really interesting because the studies on it affecting testosterone are pretty remarkable. This is a big deal now for men. This has been a big deal, by the way, for decades. People don't know this. We've been tracking testosterone for decades. It's been going down since the
1950s.
Oh, 50s. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. So this is a big deal. Now we're getting to kind of like this area where it's like, okay, if we keep going lower with fertility, we're going to be really screwed. So like, was that like a main focus? Was that one of the main motivators?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because we look at the big theme. Fertility rates are declining. What can we do to increase fertility? What can we do to increase testosterone? Have people feel better? We've always, as a society, we've always been into hormones.
Yeah.
You know, you look at birth control. What does a birth control hormone do?
Yeah.
And for men, you know, men are just so deficient. Our granddads had what, 3 times the amount of testosterone as the average boy has now? Like.
Yeah, it's wild. I think it was like a 65-year-old man in 1985 had better testosterone than the average 19-year-old or something like that today.
Do you know, you both are into that stuff, right? So it'd be interesting to see, like, what if I met this guy. Where was I just at? I was down in San Diego and I met this family that was, Tennessee or somewhere. He lived out in the middle of nowhere. No, it was Montana. Excuse me. It was Montana.
1400 ranch level testosterone.
Well, and so this is where I'm going with this. It's like, and we were talking and he was just talking about how he's raised his boys were young. They were both there with him and they already knew how to hunt and fish and lived on the farm. And so I wonder if we actually tried to take like families who are like generational farmers or something that still live very traditional lives and then compare to
that'd
like,
be great data.
Right. Yeah. And compared to like, smart. is it more something that's happening to all of us as a species or is it because of how we're evolving, the things we're evolving and doing every single day?
Culturally,
culturally, that's playing more of a factor than it is as a species.
The data points all across the board. However, they're probably higher in more active, healthier populations, but generally speaking, it's going down, generally speaking. And it's a lot of speculation, probably environmental toxins that you factors. Can't completely.
Well, that's why I said, so you think environmental, you think daily activities, you know, they're sitting down watching TV, video games, Netflix versus hunting,
poor
fishing,
diet.
Carrying hay, bales of hay. Like, so if you took, say, 1,000 kids, you know, that were raised out in the middle of Montana for the last 10 years versus the middle of San Francisco, what will we see? Do you think we would see the same thing?
We're just going to lump them in and average it, right?
So, because that's what we're doing is we're lumping them all together and we're averaging. And really, when you look at the average, I mean, I forgot, I saw the statistics on this, like literally 80% of us live on the coast. And then the rest fill up.
They're sparse.
The best data we have suggests that it's an environmental toxin, probably related to the explosion of, petroleum based plastics and products, which in the '50s started to become a bigger thing and just grew. It just grew decade over decade.
And then you look at all the information around, all the juice that people have been given over the past 4 years.
What do you mean?
like the vaccines.
Oh, right.
Fertility rates on the demise of that.
Yeah.
And also the common denominator being people in Montana or even San Diego or wherever they are on a farm, like the biocircadian rhythm of the sun,
yeah,
being outside. Sun is information, right? Supplements are just supplements. That's what they are. If you're not getting information to literally repackage your DNA, create stem cells, if you're not out in the sun every single day for 15 to 20 minutes, your body's a battery, your solar powered being, your antenna.
Can I tell you that I think that's actually one of the most, since we're talking about parenting and kids and stuff like that, one of the most profound things that I have seen in my son, who's going to be six now, is when I get him outside early and he plays.
What a difference.
Dude, a night. And I mean, his behavior, his sleep,
everything,
his mood. Everything. I mean, everything,
everything,
everything I can tell.
Barefoot.
Yes.
Electromagnetic, getting rid of the negative ions or whatever. And then the sun, building the solar callus.
Let him run around and play in the dirt and the sand barefoot and mess around out there for a couple hours. And holy shit, is he a different child.
One of the biggest psyops that I think we had in the last few decades was getting everybody afraid of the sun. But you combine that with a crappy diet and your skin is more sensitive to the sun. You are more likely to get sunburn from the sun.
Skin cancer.
Yeah. But it's a huge psyop. Like, everybody's scared. I'm so scared of the sun. Cover up. Put on tons of sunscreen. Oh, what's the sunscreen made of? Hormone disrupting chemicals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Parabens, phthalates.
Exposure thing.
Yeah. You know, titanium dioxide.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these sprays.
Yeah. Not a good trade. Crazy.
It's just, where did common sense go? That's
why I feel like we're just, because it's, and is it because we're all aware and we're paying attention? Because I feel like it's very obvious to me. It's not like it's kind of, or there's a correlation I've got there. No, it's very like, I've tested days where I said, let's lay around, watch TV today and do nothing and hang out. And he is a different kid.
Tantrums.
Yes.
At night, or he's upset, or he's like,
100%. Yeah. And if he has that day where he's out, he plays and he's playing out there for a couple hours, getting the sun. Oh, it is, man, a night and day difference.
Nature's a healer. Nature's the greatest healer. We live on a Federal Reserve, the farm is. So all around us, thousands of acres of trees, oak trees, that have been there like since the beginning of time. And she goes out there and she just opens her eyes up and listens to the birds. And you could literally see it impacting her field in real time. Mm-hmm. She could be cranky before that. We haven't had to use any pills for teeth pain, for any of the teething that's going on. I mean, she's so dialed in, but it's because she's out in the sun every day. Mm-hmm. She's playing, her hands are in the dirt. She's picking up microbes everywhere. Her microbiome's probably loving it.
Yeah.
She's in the greenhouse, picking veggies, putting things in the soil. Like, she's just a different kid. And even parents come up, they're like, what are you doing to her that's different? Because she's so calm. She's so peaceful. She's so happy. People are always like, that's the happiest kid I've ever seen.
Yeah.
She walks into a room and smiles at everybody. And just, dude, even when she came out of the womb, she like would make eye contact with you. And you know how kids like just kind of float around a little bit when they come out, like, where am I? I'm planet Earth now.
Yeah.
She's so like just on it.
You know, one thing that impressed me about Organifi and continues to is you guys have this great balance between like what's natural and then what's efficacious when you're looking at extracts or with science. Like, how's that balance? How is it maintaining that balance? Because supplement companies, I think, will go too far in one direction or the other, where it's like all like there is no standardization, and it's and then you don't know what you're getting, and then there's the no, we're going to extract the chemicals and that's all we're going to sell you, you know, type of deal. What's that like between you and your team in that discussion?
That's a Shanai question.
Okay.
She dials in on all that. You would love to have a conversation with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually it's whatever's going to benefit the customer, and whatever the data says, is what we put into it the most.
What's your typical customer? Like, what is your customer avatar? What do they look like?
I would say 70% women, 30% men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that one skewed?
Yeah, 70, it's skewed.
Oh, wow.
Like women, organics, high quality yoga moms, moms that want the best for their children. They're the spender in the house as well. They make the decisions of well-being in the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go to farmers markets and I'm not famous by any means. Maybe like at a different school that I went to growing up, that's kind of what it feels like. But I'll go to a farmer's market or I'll walk into like a whole, like a Erewhon or whatever.
And that's where you're known.
They come up out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm kind of famous there. It's hilarious. But it's these powerful moms that get it. And as soon as I make eye contact with a mom and she's like, wait, I watch your videos. I buy all the Organifi for my kids. I already know, like, she is so studied. She's educated. She's giving the best to her children.
Yeah.
She has deep, meaningful, present conversations with the people in her life. Mm-hmm. She's just a rad human. So I actually love meeting people out in the streets. It's one of my favorite things to do.
I mean, that's got to be kind of cool knowing that because you've built the brand around a lot of that stuff that you've attracted that customer.
You guys too. Somebody, I mean, you want to hang out with the people that listen to you.
Yeah.
That's how I think you guys feel that way.
I know we do. That's definitely.
Yeah, I feel that way.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of our favorite part. In fact, that's actually one of the exercises that we do to keep us grounded is like, you know, sometimes we get in this cave and we talk on this podcast to, out in the ether,
your
right?
Words go out into the cave. Yeah.
And then every once in a while we get to meet with all the people that listen and it always reminds us, this is why we do this. Like, this is cool that we're getting to meet all these people that are like us.
I love thinking that. And I love looking at testimonials and just reading the name, even the name of somebody and like the experience that they had with their kids or the experience that they had healing or losing weight or whatever it is. And just feeling into that and how much that changes their whole entire household.
Yeah.
Because they're a better person. Mm-hmm. They feel better. They have more energy. They're more present. I think that's what we're after here.
When you look at the full SKUs, right? The whole product line, has it over this entire time been like green juice was the flagship, right? And I'm sure you do a lot of protein. Is it consistent or have you had like this product has way overtaken this one?
Yes, it's had to evolve. So with the onslaught of AG1,
right?
You know, you got a company that's just a Goliath now after $100 million in funding. Like, they can buy up any single podcast there is if they want.
I see that. They try to buy us out.
Huberman, I mean, you name it.
How loyal we are, just so you know.
I know. They try and that's what I love about you. Time. Yeah, loyalty.
They do. We are.
And then it's like, what is it? It's like 50 ingredients, tiny specs, no efficacy at all. But the marketing's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. They've crushed that.
Yeah, and
people think
team.
It's one of the best because of the marketing. Isn't that wild how that is?
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like how
that's the game.
It is. It's the unfortunate part.
It is. And you can't, you know, hate the player, hate the game kind of a thing.
For sure.
They're great. But at the end of the day, it's like when you have that type of capital, you could have you could be losing your ass on something. It doesn't matter because it's not really hurting your bank account.
Yeah.
Long term, they've tracked their LTV with the subscriptions. So for us to answer your question directly, it's had to evolve. It's had to change. So we look for niche marketplaces that people actually need support before the market gets there.
That's the answer to the question he was asking earlier about Sheila Jeet and Happy Drops. It always seems like you've done this incredible job of something that's been around forever. So it's not like you're inventing something.
We're a small company.
Yeah.
And we're bootstrapped. We don't have deep pockets like that. So for us, the customer relationship is the most important. The relationship that I have with you guys, because you're customer interfacing, you're talking to people every single day, working your booty off. So that's what we look for. And it's worked well.
You know, Adam uses you guys as an example when we talk to other companies that want to work with us. Because you guys do such a good job of with our customers, with the people we send. You do such a good job with them and then they stick around. And so when he talks to companies, it's one of the things he wants to find out because like, is this going to be a good fit? And I'll always hear him, Organifi does this.
Well, you guys do something that's unique to a supplement company too, that there's not many that I am aware of that do this, which is you've been doing this for a very long time. And that was you guys, and I don't know what you call them. They're like your customer service, your coaches or whatever. Yeah. That's unique to you. There's not a lot of supplement companies that do that.
Real Most people
yeah.
coach people.
Yeah. You actually have people get on the phone that will coach people how to take the supplements or is this right for me? Or, maybe you should do this also. And so and that is like, we've always been good at being able to point people in the direction of like, this is a great product. This is a good company. But then if you, and that's why I use you as an example. I was like, if you guys on the back end support those people and you take good care of them, we're going to have a great business relationship. You're going to be very successful. We'll be very successful. But if you think that we're going to be able to close all these people on your product and your stuff, and like, we don't spend time doing that. We're a podcast and we're helping people finish it. And we're going to mention the brand and we're going to talk about how great they are, but we're not going to gear our whole podcast around selling your product. You know, say you guys got to do some shit on your back end. And not a lot of companies do that.
No, you got to care.
Yeah.
And I think that's longevity. That's what we were talking about earlier. It's like, if we understand the avatar, we understand the customer that's on the phone, their bio-individuality, they have different needs than you have. Everybody's different. So what can we do to make it special? What can we do to show them that it's not about just selling them one supplement? It's about creating a relationship with them long-term and building a friendship.
Because you guys have great retention.
Great retention.
People
best in the industry.
Yeah. Okay. So talk about that. So how do you produce that? Is it just
so average retention in the supplement market is probably 60 days. Whereas with Sheila Jeet as an example, I mean, the average is probably 4 to 5 months.
Wow.
Which is a lot longer than most companies.
Double to triple.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
and awesome. We're constantly working on how do we get that to be even longer. I mean, obviously you have the outliers that I've had people buying green juice for the past decade So there's a cohort of people that have been buying green juice for 10 years. And then people that want a discount on the front end. So they buy it and then they fall off for the first 30 days or whatever. But the math works out. And that's the company we want to build for legacy as opposed to just a quick, quick cash infusion.
That's awesome. What do you, Drew, what do you do for yourself personally? Obviously you eat healthy, you use good supplements. What do you do for fitness?
Gosh, I used to work out twice a day, probably like you guys way back before kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's less is more kind of a thing. I watched this guy's short series. I loved it, by the way. Yeah. I'm wondering why you don't do more of those because I think you have your, and we're probably going to get comments on this right now, but I miss it. Because I felt like you were my guide on the side, like going through your transformation.
Yeah, it was a lot, you know what, to be, and Justin just went through it, right? So Justin Justin did a series on hitting a PR of 315 and he documented the whole thing.
Overhead press.
It's a
overhead press.
Yeah, 315.
Hey, that he thought it was calves, dude.
Yeah. No, bro, he didn't work out his calves. Don't get us started on that.
Yeah. Just jump rope.
Yeah. So
good job, man.
It was a major commitment. It was a lot.
That's a lot of
It's like to do it right, I think, like I documented everything, right? So I was on my Instagram and, you know, taking this conversation full circle to having a kid and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I had during that time, I remember apologizing to my wife and my son that, hey, daddy's going to do this for the next couple of months. So bear with me. Like, this is a priority. And so every day when I would, because this is our, we have to do this. This is what really makes the business go. That's like a nice to have a bonus that we are doing. It's good for the business. People love it. They want more of it, but it takes a lot of commitment outside of this to do that. And so, a lot of my time that I normally would be spending with my son or my own time with my whatever was now dedicated to like documenting this process. That's why, like, man, when I see some of these people, I'm so blessed to how we built this business and that it's really centered around this right here, which we all love to do so much. And it's been good enough to us that we can have a living off of it. Because the typical Instagram influencer person that makes good money is like, man, it's like they don't separate their personal life
from it.
And we all never wanted that. And we all agreed that like I didn't want. And so
I remember you saying that on our first interview.
That's right.
Something like that.
And so we keep it. You know, I share a lot of, we all share a lot of our personal life, but we keep a lot of it to ourselves too. Like I don't document all of it. And so that 3 months, why I think people eat it up is you get to see me I really documented my life.
Nothing like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so people ate it up because
I mean, I've watched Sebum. I've watched, you know, what's the other guy's name? Sam Kulik or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Like it's all okay. But the way you were doing it, man.
I enjoyed it and I got a lot of, I felt like the way we did it, I thought it was unique. Like that was kind of a fly on the wall type.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, like where I was just kind of talking to myself. Like I thought what we did was pretty cool. I wish it supported the business more to justify doing it more often. But
that's
it's
the hard part.
It is. That's the hard, and so for the listener who's wondering why we don't, it's like, you know, it's got to make sense. The amount of effort and time that I put into that, there's so many other things that I can do within the business and the ROI is significantly greater as much as maybe the consumer, you love it. It's got to make sense to take away from us personally, but I feel you, you know?
Yeah. I love watching that and applying it to my life because I was under the impression that I needed to work out 4 times a week, at least an hour every time. And I was just running myself into the ground. Girl, dad, less sleep, mold in the house. I mean, my lymphatic system was probably mucked up because I have the MTHFR gene mutation as well. And I got all that going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like all these variables I had to deal with. Now it's, I would say 3 times a week, 30 to 45 minutes. I make sure I get at least 15,000 steps a day, usually on a good day is the goal.
Wow, that's it. Huh? You look great.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, you build a good base. You've been training for so long.
I started
it sticks
lifting.
Around too when you build a good base.
And it's easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Because
isn't that funny? We need to sell that. We try to sell that off on the show. It's like, especially if you build muscle, keeping it's not hard.
Yeah. So easy.
Building it's hard.
It's just the keeping it bit. Is easy.
And I don't eat nearly as much.
That's the other thing that I was just talking on my Instagram the other day about if I were to like unpack the thing that I've worked on though. Someone asked me a question, like, what are you working on the most in your life or something like that? I said, you know, The thing that I've gotten much better at in my 40s that I didn't have such a good time or wasn't very good at in my 30s and my 20s is balancing my nutrition with what I'm doing with my activity and my training.
Yeah.
So it's, I've always been all on or all off all the time, where now I'm very mindful. Like, hey, this has been kind of a lazy week for me. I didn't get into my training as much. I didn't get my steps as much as I would. So very much so that that might be the time where I'm intermittent fasting. That might be the time I skip out on that dessert or that popcorn or the thing. I'm really good now in my 40s of like telling myself that, hey, if I want those things, I need to go earn them by moving and doing the things. And if I don't, because I get busy and life happens or I'm traveling, then I adjust the diet. And as simple as that may seem, it's hard to be consistent and practice 100%. That. And I've gotten better at that. I've gotten older of doing that. That's made a big hack for me too.
Likewise on that. And it's more about recovery for me. So it's like getting the daily solar callus built up, getting outside in the sun, planting my feet in the grass, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I would choose that over lifting weights now.
That's my kick right now. We have a pool and I'm like, I've been like laying out and like, I'm like, man, I haven't eaten up this much sun in so long.
It feels
so good.
Because your inflammation goes way down.
Just feel your good.
Abs are going to look leaner and tighter.
I feel good. I just feel better all the way around. And my workouts are meh right now. But I'm getting outside way more.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, like, that's another thing too, is I feel like the whole health sphere is so much more than just lifting iron. I mean, that's a big part. Don't get me wrong. And it's probably it's one of the best ROIs of all the things that we talk about, right? Is lifting weights, eating correctly. And so those are pillars, but so is getting outside and getting in the sun. And I've neglected that a lot in the last decade or two. And I'm trying to like be better about that.
Well, we're obsessive kind of guys.
Yeah.
And I love to lift heavy ass weights. Mm-hmm. There's no greater. I mean, if I don't lift 3 days, if I haven't lifted in 3 days, I start to feel off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just a little depressed where it's like, what's going on? Like thoughts that wouldn't affect me are now affecting me. So as soon as I pick up the iron or I'm in the gym, it's like, oh, this is my bliss spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot less now. Diet's plugged in. I eat when I'm hungry. So I may go all day and just have one meal.
Yeah.
And I feel great doing that.
Yeah.
It's like in the morning, it might be caffeine o'clock as opposed to, you know, having breakfast.
Okay, which I'm fine with.
That's great. And I feel better than I ever have. Yeah. Like I said, my blood test showed that my inflammation was a little high. Cholesterol was a little high as well.
So how often are you doing those? Do you check up?
Every 3 months is goal.
Okay. So every 3 months.
Yeah.
How old are you now, Drew?
44.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're all the same generation.
Yeah. I thought we were the same.
Yeah.
Around the same age.
You and I are the same. They're a little bit, they're older than we are.
They're older guys.
Yeah. Doug's way the fuck older.
Doug used to write Doug's, a dinosaur
school. Doug's ancient. You know what I'm saying?
He's going to live
like the young Padawans in the room.
Yeah. Yes. He is the old wise one. He keeps us straight for sure.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.